Welcome back to the Power Hour. My name is Charlie Robinson. I am your guest host today, filling in for Daniel Brigman. Thank you all for having me. It's a beautiful day out there. It's a good day to be alive. I love that I can communicate with you through the amazing wonders of technology. And I'm old enough to remember a day when we had 8-track tapes and cassette tapes and all of that. I'm not against upgrades in technology. I think they're fantastic. But I think it's worth keeping our eyes on where everything is going. This dystopian reality that is unfolding before our eyes, a technocratic prison camp globally? I don't know. Maybe. There's talk about it. There's talk about our coming digital enslavement. Ooh. Sounds very, I don't know, Blade Runner-ish. And if the people in positions of power have it their way, well, we may live in a Blade Runner reality. I'm not trying to scare everybody, but I'm laying out the realities of where this technology is headed. Over the past year or so, we were cooped up in our homes, corralled in, forced to watch Netflix. Well, maybe not forced, encouraged, given the opportunity. And from this, we've seen some advancements in technology that have been unfurled over the last couple of months. Of course, all to save us, right? To improve humanity and to save our lives. One of the things people noticed early on in the COVID situation was you would see signs pop up in some places saying cash not accepted here. Can't take cash because it might have the virus on it. Look, cash has got a lot of stuff on it, right? Let's not pretend like it's necessarily clean. But that's not what this is about. No. The powers that be would love to push us into a society where cash no longer existed. It's the cashless society, appropriately titled. Right? And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. They talk openly about this. And to be fair, we've been kind of operating in a semi-cashless society for a while now. You have checks, you have credit cards, you have PayPal, you have crypto. You know, some people are into crypto, some people are late to the game or, you know, just getting into it. But the idea of having digital currencies, you know, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it could be fantastic, but it depends on the currencies. What we've seen lately is a incremental and slow but consistent dripping of information of a push towards what they call central bank digital currencies, CBDC. It's not Bitcoin. It's not Monero. It's not Ethereum or anything like that. It's the Federal Reserve's coin. It's the coin they want. You know, the Federal Reserve, right? The private central bank that's run and owned by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, that is another private central bank that's owned by a collection of families, they want to control the currency in this next phase. They've been controlling it our entire lifetimes since they hijacked it in 1913. Creation of the Federal Reserve and, not to be forgotten, the parallel creation of the Internal Revenue Service as the collection arm for the Federal Reserve. You see, the Federal Reserve prints money out of thin air and loans it to the government at interest. And then the government uses the IRS to collect taxes from us to pay that interest back. That's the shakedown. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. But the new CBDC idea, oh, it takes this to a whole new level. a dystopian nightmare that is almost impossible to imagine. You see, because one of the components of this newfangled currency, it's not just that it's digital, it's that it's programmable. Now, your dollars in your Federal Reserve notes in your wallet, they're not programmable. They're dumb. They just sit there. They do nothing. You can trade them with people. You can collect them from other people. You can give them. You can do whatever you want with them. But they're not smart. It's not smart money. It's just money. But the new currencies, they have big plans for this. And you need to be aware of this. Because it's going to impact you. And they're going to roll this out in a way that seems altruistic and just, this is the evolution. This is where we go. You're not anti-technology, are you? You're not anti-progress. How dare you? Don't be stuck in the Stone Age, man. Get on board with your central bank digital currency that happens to be programmable. So what does that mean? What does it mean that it's programmable? Well, let's imagine this scenario. The economy not doing so well in the future. Sales are lagging. Consumer spending is way down. Retail unemployment is high. There's just not a lot of active. People are worried. People are concerned. They don't want to spend their money. They don't know what's going to happen in the future. They're sitting on it. Well, we can't have that. So in their infinite wisdom, the Federal Reserve has decided, well, in order to increase spending, we've decided to change the CBDC and stick in an expiration date on it. That's right. Your money now expires in 180 days. Yes, it's in your account. Yes, you can see it in your Fed wallet, your digital currency wallet. But it's going to disappear in 180 days if you don't get out there and spend it. Now, I know that sounds crazy. I acknowledge it. It sounds really crazy. But let me ask you one thing. What do you think they're talking about when Klaus Schwab and his merry band of psychopaths at the World Economic Forum say, you'll own nothing? How are they going to accomplish that? Well, I'll tell you what. If they have programmable currency that can expire if you don't spend it, well, you're not going to be able to save anything. That's for sure. And this is not some fantasy nightmare scenario. They're talking about this. They're talking about the programmable part. They're talking about expiration dates on your money. Think about that. You're good. You manage your bills. You save a little bit. You want to put some aside for your kids' college. You're a reasonable, smart, logical person. You're good with your money. You're not frivolous. You're not buying fur coats and bottle service in Vegas. You're not doing any of that stuff. You might as well start. Once they start the timer on your money, you better start. Or maybe they don't do that. Maybe that's too on the nose. Maybe that's too authoritarian for them. Instead, they've programmed into this currency that it is only accepted at the company store. What's the company store? Well, there is a stratification of society in the business world that's happening right now. It's the big businesses that were allowed to stay open last year, and it's the small and medium-sized businesses that weren't. If the lockdowns didn't put you out of business and you're still hanging in there, congratulations. But guess what? Federal's out this new central bank digital currency, and it's programmed that it doesn't work at your store. It only works at Amazon and Walmart and Best Buy and Apple and iTunes. But it doesn't work at Bob's Hardware Store down the street. They can do that. Maybe they say, you know, maybe you say, well, I'm not going to participate in this. I'm not going to get on. I'm not going to get in on this. I don't want any of this. Okay, neither do I. I don't want any of it either. But they make an announcement one day in the future and they say, a decision has been made to transition from the US dollar into the Fed coin, a central bank digital currency. We are offering you this opportunity over the next 90 days to transfer your US dollars for this new Fed coin. In fact, if you do it right away, we'll give you a dollar and a quarter for every dollar that you put in, or that you transfer over. Doesn't matter. They're creating it out of thin air. It doesn't cost them anything. Oh, that's a great incentive. Oh, but it gets worse. If you don't do this within the next 90 days, our offer goes down to just an even dollar for dollar. And then 90 days after that, maybe we only give you 75 cents on the dollar. Maybe we give you a quarter. Maybe there comes a time when you get nothing and like it. This is how they will force you into it. They'll tie universal basic income into this. You'll be paid. Everyone's talking about that. Andrew Yang is out there. He can't stop talking about universal basic income. It's free money with strings attached, right? It's like the idea of a EBT card, a welfare, food stamps, right? Food stamps you could only use for food. You could only use for essential items. You couldn't use it at the grocery store to buy alcohol or cigarettes or things like that. Reasonable, I think. I don't think there's anything, you know, I think people would, you know, you're getting free money for food. You should have to buy food. And I don't think that's unreasonable. But what happens if it does get unreasonable? Universal basic income is only deposited in your account, provided that you're up to date on your vaccination. Yeah, see here that according to your vaccine passport, looks like you're not quite up to date on your quarterly COVID shots. Until you get up to date on that, I'm afraid your universal basic income is going to be held by the state and not deposited in your account. You see how this works? You'll own nothing, says the Führer, Klaus Schwab, leader of the Fourth Reich. No ability to save. Full tracking of everything you spend. Anywhere you spend it, they'll know everything about you. And of course, that information from the Fed will be provided to the company store, their advertisers, so that they can data mine you to figure out exactly where you are, who you are, what you're spending. Not that they haven't already done that, of course. But think of the power that these people are being granted. It's just one component of this digital enslavement that we're walking into. I had Whitney Webb on my show Macroaggressions a couple of weeks ago, and we got into a great discussion about what the government is rolling out sort of in the background right now, a digital health division. You've heard of DARPA, right? Defense Advanced Research Project Administration. Get ready for HARPA. Health Advanced Research. Because DARPA was so great, they gave us robot dogs and all sorts of, I mean, you've seen the movie Terminator. You know who's building the Terminators? It's basically DARPA, okay? That's who's doing it. HARPA has been funded with $6.5 billion already. It's being overseen by a guy named Eric Lander, a name that probably doesn't ring a bell for too many people. Jeffrey Epstein knew him really well. He's one of his buddies. what they want to do with this HARPA is they want to, they want to change the policy. So the way it currently works is that you go through, you know, in the scientific and medical community, you go through peer reviewed studies and things like that. They don't want that. There's too many opportunities for people to block their agenda. They're not interested in that. They want it to be just directed, not peer reviewed, so that the Eric Lander, the head, can say, this is what we're doing and we're doing it. One of their key pushes is to use mRNA vaccines that we currently have been exposed to recently through Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. They want to use mRNA vaccines to cure cancer. And which is, you know, something that, look, we all want to cure cancer, right? Well, I don't know that mRNA vaccines is exactly the direction you want to head, but that's how these things are rolled out. Always under the guise, sell the benefits, sell the benefits, sell the benefits. We're going to cure cancer. Well, what about the Moderna CEO saying that it installs an operating system in you? Nah, we're curing cancer here. Don't get bogged down in the details. Don't be a hater. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. HARPA wants to invest heavily in pre-crime for mental health to stop mass shootings. Oh, I saw Minority Report. You probably did too. You're under arrest for the pre-crime of killing your wife. But I didn't kill her. Not yet, you didn't. All of this information, the biotech information, will then be fed through supercomputers, big data, artificial intelligence to manage all of this process. This is not a job for human beings to track all of this. It will be computers managing this. What could possibly go wrong, right? But don't worry. Eric Schmidt is going to be heavily connected with this as well. The former head of Alphabet, the parent company of Google. And Whitney Webb and I joked that maybe Eric Schmidt is the president of the United States right now. We know it's not Joe Biden. That guy can't even drive a car without there being a second steering wheel there. You think he's making decisions? I don't think so. But Eric Schmidt, he's a dangerous individual. His connections, of course, through Google, they don't end there. His office is in the Pentagon. So this is a blending of digital technologies, artificial intelligence, and the weaponization through the Pentagon. Under the guise of health, always under the guise of health. This HARPA program is going to institute trace together, contact tracing technology. It's a spy apparatus. It's what they're doing. And Google and the Department of Defense is using massive amounts of human genome data that they have acquired. They want to make specialized medicines for you based on your genome. Now look, I'm all about technology. I want advancements. I'm not stuck in the past. I appreciate the innovation. But I see this technological advancement a lot like the way I see guns. Is there anything wrong with a gun? Not necessarily. It depends on whose hands it's in. And when you talk about having access to all of this digital information and the blending of that with healthcare and big data in the Pentagon, forgive me for getting a little bit nervous. I've seen this before. It doesn't end well. I'll tell you where this is heading. It's heading to a social credit system like the one that is currently rolled out in Shenzhen, China, which can map a person getting on a bus. You got a scenario, Chinese guy, in Shenzhen smoking a cigarette gets on a bus. Not allowed to smoke on the bus. He knows that. Doesn't care. Facial recognition cameras pick him up in that bus, match it to his face, to his account. By the time that guy gets off the bus, throws his cigarette down, walks around the corner, his cell phone pings, telling him he's been found to be smoking on that bus. He's been issued a fine, and it's been deducted from his account already. That's not in the future. That's happening today, right now. Your social credit score gets too low in this scenario. That guy can't get on a train or an airplane. That's how they control us. That's the plan. Now, I see that plan rolling out in China, and I think, no, thank you. I don't want anything to do with that. But that's not what they think. The American government sees that, and they say, we like what you've done here. We love this. How can we implement this into our... We like the way you've been able to control your entire population through social credit. This is very fascinating to us. How can we capitalize on this? Well, this unfortunately is the direction that we are headed. It's worth paying attention to this. It's not going to be going away. It's just getting started. So keep your eyes open. Keep your head on a swivel. Trust but verify. Be very careful of these central bank digital currencies. It's not Bitcoin. They may say it runs on the blockchain or something like that and you get confused. Don't fall for it. Stay right here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're with the Power Hour.
In the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution. It's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were to drink it, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Spring is here, and so are your allergies. That's why we have quercetin at a 15% discount, available at thepowermall.com. Quercetin, it's a potent antioxidant to support immunity and normal allergen response. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. 15% off quercetin this month only at thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. My name is Charlie Robinson. I am your guest host filling in for Daniel Brigman today. Thank you all for having me. If you're interested in connecting with me, you can find my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can check out my podcast, Macroaggressions, which is available wherever podcasts are served, and also in video format on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, and YouTube. And I would encourage you. Oh, and also I have a group podcast called The Union of the Unwanted, which is a lot of fun. It's a group panel. We have Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat, Midnight Mike from OBDM, and Ricky Verandas from the Ripple Effect podcast. We do a group show twice a month. It's a lot of fun. We pick a topic, invite a lot of content creators on and some experts in the field, and we just go for it. If you have not checked out the Power Mall yet, please do so. Take a look. Buy some vitamins, buy some water filters. Got to get yourself prepared. My God, if we didn't learn anything after 2020, it is get yourself ready for what is coming. And one of the things that I reconnected with, I found this quote that really jumped out at me. And it had to do with the particular time that I was reading it. And it really just resonated with me. It's from Frank Zappa. You remember him, right? Good old Frank Zappa, a phenomenal musician who mostly is, you know, he was always known for music until he started talking about politics, and then everybody wanted to hear what he had to say, kind of like a George Carlin. And he said something that was so profound. I have to read it to you. The illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery, they will pull back the curtains, they will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. I feel like that's where we're headed. I feel like I can see them slowly pulling the chairs away, pushing the tables off to the side. Have you felt that? Do you feel like your freedoms are slipping away? It's always under the guise of protecting you, right? In order to protect you from this thing, we have to take away certain freedoms and rights. We'll get back to you, though, at some point. Yes, yes, terrorists attacked us on 9/11, and we can never have that again. So we've introduced the Patriot Act. And of course it removes all of your rights, but trust us. Once everything calms down, we'll give them all back to you. Let me ask you this. Still taking off your shoes before you go through security at the airports? You probably are. Temporary measures, right? Can't have any liquids in your bags because, you know, you might make a bomb out of your water bottle. I mean, we see how preposterous this is. We're not dumb. We have eyeballs. And yet, to question that is to open the state up to possible attacks by external forces. We can't do that. Well, you know who taught the American government that playbook. That was Hermann Göring, right? The people can easily be brought to war. You know, just tell them that they're being attacked by some external force and marginalize the people that are contradicting this. Tell them they're opening you up to attack. Whoa. And then sick the people on them. That's where we are now. It's not even so much that the rules have all changed. Yeah, they've changed a little bit. I'm not afraid of that. I'm afraid of the Karens out there, the proverbial Karens, the busybodies that have nothing better to do but to call the police because there's too many cars in the driveway on Thanksgiving. My neighbors might be plotting. They might be getting super spreader event. I have to rat them out. Oh, I see you've had too many people here for your Thanksgiving. We must break down the doors. But we have freedom, right? No. We have the illusion of freedom. And I fear that it is becoming too expensive to maintain. Did you know that in the United States of America, we have free speech zones? It's true. If you go to a protest, maybe not at the Capitol building anymore because they're convinced that June 6th was like 9/11 part two, electric boogaloo, right? But anywhere else where you go to protest, they will set up little chain link fenced areas and they will say, this is a free speech zone. That's where if you want to have free speech, you have to go stand there. Oh, no, you don't. No. No, that's not how it works, people. Little advice. Do not participate in that. If somebody sets up a free speech zone for you to have your free speech in there, do not go into that. You are playing their game if you allow that to happen. We don't do that. Free speech zones are kind of comical. Because it's so stupid that it's evident on its face that it's stupid. But did you know that there are constitution-free zones? Oh, you haven't heard of this? You mean Brett Baer didn't tell you this on Fox News? Rachel Maddow didn't devote a segment to this in between fear-mongering that Russia is going to turn off all of our power? She didn't mention the constitutional free zones, which she should have, because they're a very real thing. And what it is it borders the edges of the United States from the shoreline in 100 miles all the way around. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, Phoenix, El Paso, Houston, New Orleans, keep going, Tampa, Miami, up the East Coast, Washington, D.C., New York City, Boston. You understand? All the way around the country. If you live in those areas, 100 miles in from the coastline, you are technically living in a constitution-free zone. Nobody told you that, right? They don't necessarily enforce it. It's not it's not a known thing right now. It's real, but it hasn't really been brought out into the public yet. But I suspect they're waiting. They're waiting for the right time to roll that out. When they tell you that the Constitution no longer applies in these certain areas, and you go, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? And they say, yeah, you live in a Constitution-free zone. You didn't know that? And you go, no. Didn't know there was such a thing. Why would you think that there was such a thing? There shouldn't be. Yet there is. And they'll say, well, listen, man, you've always lived there. You just didn't know it. But things are changing, and for the best, you know, for everybody's safety, we have to remove your freedoms. Well, you might think that that can't happen. That won't happen in America. That only happens in foreign countries like Canada, where the church was shut down, where the pastor was arrested in front of all the TV cameras, of course, where kids are playing hockey on a pond. The police run and take them all off. Or Australia, total lockdowns, 5 kilometer radius from your house. If you exceed that, they take you to jail. Papers, please. Borders are still closed in Australia. You can't get in and out of there. Lockdown. Wrong time to be on an island, right? When it's a lockdown. Same thing's happening in Chile. If you don't have a state-issued permission slip that is printed from the police station's website that allows you to get out of your house 2 hours twice a week to go just to the grocery store, if you are anywhere else, you're going to jail. In the UK, pubs with rules for the vaccinated and rules for the unvaccinated. Well, if you're vaccinated, you can sit at the bar. If you're unvaccinated, you have to sit at a table. Because that makes any sense, right? How are those freedoms treating you? I saw something. I think you probably all saw it too. This was a couple of weeks ago. It was so ridiculous that I wanted to scream. Volcano on the island of St. Vincent. People rushing to get off, as you would expect. Let me out of here. They send the cruise ships up. Thank God. The cruise ships are going to show up. They're going to get thousands of these people off. We're going to get them out. Papers, please. What do you mean? Well, do you show me your proof of vaccination? If you don't have proof of vaccination, you don't get to leave the island. I am curious. In what universe are we subjecting people to vaccines for their health and safety and wellness, and yet denying people the opportunity to get off of an island with an exploding volcano that will most definitely compromise your health, safety, and wellness? Can we just admit it's not about health, safety, and wellness? It's not about science. It's about compliance. And the illusion of freedom is becoming far too expensive. You need a license for everything. Want to open a lemonade stand? Just hope the cops don't show up. Write you a ticket. Give your kid a ticket for failure to procure a permit. Want to go fishing? Need a license. Want to get married? Need a license. Want to have a yard sale? You might need a license. Got these beautiful dogs here, breeding my dogs. Do you have your dog breeding license? Nope. Seem to have misplaced that one. Hunting license, driving license. You own a gun? You have to have a gun license. are you boating today? Because if you're boating, you better have your boating license. Are you selling raw milk? I currently am not selling raw milk. But if I were in the business of selling raw milk, I would need a special license for that. And in the winter months, when my side hustle was being a Christmas tree vendor, well, I would need a special license for that as well. If you live in the great state of Texas and you plan on doing interior design, don't forget to get your interior design license, which I can only imagine mandates a certain number of animal heads be inside every house. I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to pretend that it is true. How about a license to close your failing business? Can I ask a rather logical question? If I'm the guy that has run my business into the ground, do you think I'm the guy that also went out and got a license to close my business? Do I strike you as the type of person that has filed all of the necessary paperwork? Or do you think that maybe as evidenced by the fact that I am closing my business, which I have bankrupted, that maybe I'm not the best person at filling out the forms and I certainly shouldn't have the money to pay the fine? What a scam. We'll take all your freedoms from you and then sell them back to you in the form of a license. Why didn't I think of this? This is an idea so dumb that only the state could come up with this. And yet we accept it. We readily accept it. I have a driver's license. I know what happens if I get pulled over and I don't have it. So we comply and we enable. And we participate in this. And we take these insane ideas and we normalize and make them real. Because we choose to participate in this. I think there's something that a lot of people have forgotten. I know I have from time to time. There is another option here. We all have this. And we can exercise this at certain times for certain problems that we see. And this is our right to say, I do not comply. I just do not comply. I refuse to participate in this insanity. I do not comply with unjust orders. I will not do this. Now, if it's just one person and you're, you know, opening up your gym in New Jersey or you're opening up your hair salon in California because you have a very important client named Nancy who's coming down from Capitol Hill to get her hair done, and you just happen to open up your place and violate these, you will be singled out. No doubt about it. We watched that happen when people chose to not comply. But what happens when everybody chooses that? What we see is that the facade of governmental control and these dictates that come from on high, from the Mount Olympus, they go right out the window when we decide to take our power back. And we better start. Because where we are right now is that we're currently living in a world where your child will go to school and say that 2 + 2 = 4. And get their problem marked incorrect because Common Core wants you to show their work. We live in a world where you can't teach a college class as a professor without running the risk of some social justice warrior going to the dean of students and complaining about you because you assigned a textbook to read and somebody read something in there that made them feel all icky inside. And now you have to lose your job because of that. In Oregon, you can't collect rainwater from your house in certain places without getting fined by the city. You know why? Because the city says they own the rain. I wish I were kidding. You can't question the numbers. You can't question how many genders there are. You can't suggest that you think it might be a bad idea to ban people that were formerly men from competing in women's high school sports because they will knock people out and with their increased size and strength. And all. You can't have that conversation right now. You're a racist. You're a homophobe, anti-trans for that. Really? For asking the question? I'm anti-something? Education's no longer about actual education. It's about indoctrination. We see this. We understand this. We're not totally asleep at the wheel here. Can't oppose critical race theory or reparations or any of this stuff. These are topics that need to be discussed. I mean, maybe not the reparations part. That's pretty cartoonish. But critical race theory? Okay, so everybody's either a victim or an oppressor? What if you're neither? Do I have to spend the rest of my life pretending that I'm a victim? Or worse, pretending that I'm an oppressor? This is happening in our schools. We used to have the freedom to challenge these things. It is slowly slipping away from us. I believe that this audience knows what I'm talking about. You've seen it. How can you not? You're paying attention. You can't share your thoughts or ideas on social media without being banned. I've been kicked off of Twitter. I'm back, though. You can follow me at Macroaggressions if you'd like. If you like my brand of insanity, you can certainly check it out there for as long as they allow me the freedom of speech. But I know that's changing. I know that's going away at some point. The beatings will continue until morale improves. That's where we are right now in society. Gaslighting from your mainstream media. The slow creep of technology under the guise of saving everybody's lives. Medical martial law and medical fascism. And what are we doing? We see it. We see it all. We have our eyes open. We're paying attention. Well, I'll tell you what. There's far more of us than they think. And when we wake up en masse to this, there's nothing they can do. I think it's important for us to remember we do have some freedoms left. I'm sure old Frank Zappa would be pleased to know that we still retain some of those freedoms. But at the rate that we're going, we're losing them. The culture is being changed by the media, by the corporations, by the state, by the Tavistock Institute, and by the non-governmental organizations that are driving policies behind the scenes, trying to make this all look very organic. It is not. I don't want to live in a world where I can't mention what I see with my own eyes. When I see Biden falling down the stairs to Air Force One, or when I see riots and I've got somebody saying, no, 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 what you're seeing is mostly peaceful protests. I see massive inflation of the dollar. No, you don't. The Fed said that the inflation's only 3%. Oh, okay. I see massive vaccine damage everywhere. No, you don't. No. No, what you see is a guy getting struck by lightning the minute after he got the shot. We're putting that on his death certificate. Oh, I can't be the only one that sees this, right? Right? The illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery. They will pull back the curtains. They will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater. I don't know about you, but I want my freedoms back. They're never going to hand them over to you willingly. You're going to have to take them back. And I'm grateful that we have these platforms to get the message out. I've been fortunate to be a guest on the Power Hour a couple of times. Daniel Brigman has been a guest on my show, Macroaggressions, before. This is where it starts. Before we make the major changes, before we take back all of this, we've got to wake people up. We've got to have the conversation. So consider this part of that conversation. Where we go from here, what we do with this information, well, that's going to depend on all of us. But I'll tell you, what I've seen lately is a lot of angry people with a right to be angry that do not like the direction that this country is headed, that this world is headed in general. But we're in a unique position where we have the ability to sound the alarm, to wake people up, to get them thinking about things in a different way. And we're going to need that. My name is Charlie Robinson. I've been your guest host. Thank you so much for allowing me. Take care, everybody.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.